Chapter 31, Return of the Dragon Rider. It was dark inside the tomb of the Dragon Rider, although the noonday sun was blazing down on the land outside. Only a few dusty sunbeams made their way through the crumbling walls and fell on the strange carved patterns adorning the walls of the tomb. There was enough space under the stone dome for even Firedrake to turn around easily. A strange, heavy fragrance rose from some faded flowers lying on the floor around a stone sarcophagus. "Look," said Zubaydah Khalib, taking Ben over to it. The dry petals crackled under their feet. "Do you see this writing?" The dracologist put her hand on the stone slab covering the sarcophagus. Ben nodded. "It took me a long time to decipher it," Zubaydah went on. "Many of the characters have been eroded by the salt wind blowing in from the sea, and no one down in the village knew what they said. None of them remembered the old stories clearly. Only with the help of two very old women, whose grandmothers had told them tales of the Dragon Rider, did I manage to decipher the forgotten words. And this morning, when I saw you and Sorrel riding into the village on Firedrake's back, it was as if they had come to life."
"Why? What did they say?" asked Ben.
His heart had been thudding when Dr. Khalib had led him into the burial chamber. He didn't like cemeteries. They frightened him. And now here he was inside a tomb. But the fragrance rising from the dry petals was reassuring. "It says here," replied Zubaydah, passing her ringed fingers over the weather-worn characters, "that the Dragon Rider will return in the shape of a boy, with skin as pale as the full moon, coming to save his friends the dragons from a terrible enemy." Incredulous, Ben examined the sarcophagus. "Is that really what it says?" But baffled, he looked at the professor.
"Did some soothsayer say so at the time, Zubaydah?"
asked Barnabas Grimbloom. Zubaydah Khalib nodded.
"Yes, a woman who was present at the Dragon Rider's deathbed. Some even say now that those were his own words.
He said he'd return, but he was a human being, right?"
asked Sorrel.
She laughed. "Oh, come on, you humans don't return from the world beyond. You lose yourselves there. Either you lose yourselves or you forget the world you came from."
"How do you know if that's true of all human beings?" asked Zubaydah Khalib. "I know you can enter the other world whenever you like, Sorrel. All fabulous creatures can, except for those who die a violent death. But there are some human beings who, believe we, too, have only to become a little better acquainted with death to be able to return, if we want to. So who knows? Perhaps there really is something of the old Dragon Rider in Ben."
The boy looked down at his feet uncomfortably.
"Oh, come on," Sorrel chuckled skeptically. "We found him in a pile of old packing cases, a stack of crates and cardboard cartons on the other side of the world. And he didn't even know a thing about dragons and brownies, not a single thing."
"That's true," said Firedrake. He bent his neck over Ben's shoulder. "But he has become a dragon rider now, Sorrel. A true dragon rider. There aren't many of those in the world. There never were many, even when dragons could still roam free and didn't have to hide. In my view," he said, raising his head and looking around, "whether or not there's something of the old Dragon Rider in him, here he is, and perhaps he can really help us defeat Nettlebrand. One thing fits anyway." Firedrake nudged Ben gently and blew the hair back from his face. "He's as pale as the moon. In fact, rather paler at the moment, I'd say." Feeling rather embarrassed, Ben grinned at the dragon.
Sorrel picked up one of the fragrant petals and held it under her nose. "I'm a dragon rider too, you know. I've been a dragon rider ever since I can remember, but no one's making a big fuss about me."
"You're not exactly as pale as the moon, are you?"
said Twigleg, scrutinizing her furry face.
"More the color of storm clouds, if you ask me."
Sorrel stuck her tongue out at him.
"No one did ask you," she snapped.
Professor Greenbloom cleared his throat and leaned against the old sarcophagus, evidently thinking hard. "My dear Zubaydah," he said,
I assume you showed us this old description because you think Firedrake should not turn back, despite his sinister pursuer, right? The Dracologist nodded. Right? Firedrake has come so far, and so many people have helped him along the way. I just can't believe all that was for nothing. And I think it's time for the dragons to fight back and banish Nettlebrand forever, instead of hiding away from him. Could there be a better opportunity? She looked around at them. We have a dragon with nothing more to lose. A brawny girl who can make enchanted ravens fall from the sky. A human boy who's a true dragon rider and is even mentioned in an old prophecy. A homunculus who knows almost all his master's secrets. Her bangles jingled as she raised her arms. And a great many people who long to see dragons flying in the sky again. Oh, yes. I think Firedrake should continue his quest, but first I must tell him how to fly at the dark time of the moon. It was very quiet in the tomb of the dragon rider. They were all gazing intently at the dragon. Thoughtfully, Firedrake looked down at the ground. At last he raised his head, looked steadily at them all, and nodded. I'll fly on, he said. Perhaps what the writing on the stone says is true. Perhaps the prophecy really does mean us. But before we go on, I'd like Twigleg to see if he can find out where his master is now. He looked at the homunculus, a question in his eyes. Will you do that, Twigleg? Twigleg felt his legs beginning to tremble, but he nodded.
I'll try, he whispered. As true as my name's Twigleg, and I was born in a test tube.